I'm in a new marriage, but I'm divorced, and I have two daughters from my first husband. We live different lifestyles, and we believe in Christ, and when they go with their dad, he's the complete opposite. And my five-year-old, she's even cried that daddy's going to go to hell. Those are things that I don't know how to say, or I don't even want to make their dad feel like a bad person because he's not walking the way we walk.
Desiree, I hear your heart for your family, and you're concerned that you and your children's father are not on the same page and maybe not even the same book, and the pain is real. And today, here at Intentional Living, we're going to talk about how do you get on the same page as a parent when you have so many barriers maybe between you and your spouse or your ex-spouse when it comes to parenting. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living, and our phone line is open to you live for our comment line. And the question today is, how have you gotten on the same page as parents, maybe even when you find yourself disagreeing in other areas of life? What have you done? What's one thing that you do that helps you and your children's other parent to get on the same page? Love to have you share in our comment line. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Today's program is a best of from our archives, so the calls for the live portion have already been recorded, but we'd love to hear your comments so we can use them on an upcoming program. I think we all know that when parents disagree, it sort of drips down upon our children and grandchildren and can create stress and disagreement and problems for our kids, and we don't want that. So today, getting on the same page is the topic. Come on in, join us here at Intentional Living. This is what happens when parents agree. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. When parents agree, children feel more secure. When parents agree, children feel less stress. Now, the scripture says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? I mean, that's a great verse. The intention of parenting is for a mom and a dad to be in agreement, be on the same page, going in the same direction with the same goals, with the same prayer, that the outcome would be to raise a responsible adult. Now, if you're not in that kind of a relationship today, you know it's stressful. Stressful for you, stressful for your kids. So agreement is something that I would encourage you to work on. Now, there may be areas you don't agree, and there may be a fact that you need to get to a place where you agree to disagree, but come to some agreement that you both can stand together on. Agree on one thing today. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
One of the things we've seen when it comes to getting on the same page with kids often pay the price for mom and dad's problems. I would say there's a good percentage of the times I tell parents, you don't have a parenting problem, you have a marriage problem. Because there's power in two people in marriage who are on the same page in agreement. And when they do, it really, how do you lose? I mean, it might be that the kids aren't happy, but when they see mom and dad on the same page, there's something very special about that. Now, you got to be on the same page in the right way, but getting on the same page as parents. So often what you have, and what I've seen, is that there's problems in the relationship. Either there's a lack of agreement between mom and dad and how to raise the kids, or they have some other marital issues, or maybe there's a blended family issue where the one spouse is saying, jumping in, and not appreciated for jumping in, and that creates tension, and the kids aren't happy about that. Sometimes it's that the parents are so absorbed. Come on, we can get so absorbed with our own stuff. Our careers, our own activities, even good things, church work or what have you, that we ignore or we push aside things that we see going on with our family that need to be dealt with. And I could tell you, even personally, when I look over the years, when I was especially, because our kids are raised now, we got grandkids, but during those years we're traveling and very busy, it was easy to be so distracted in the things that I was doing or we were doing, that at times things would come up and it would create tension. When we finally get around to saying, hey, we got to deal with this, deal with it intentionally, that would be a healthy thing for our family. And so listen, we're not about perfection here at Intentional Living. We're about doing the next right one thing. What is it? What's that one thing you could do today that would make the biggest difference in your family? Or what are you doing that's making a difference? Sounds like Donald in Kansas has a good idea for us. Donald, welcome to the program today. How are you?
Well, bless you, man.
Good. Thank you for the young man. I like that a lot.
Well, I want to say this. I mean, what me and my wife do, before we get up in the morning, the first thing we do is we pray, and we just ask God to bless our day and all that. And before we go to bed, we always tell God, thank you for a beautiful day and all that. And we bless him for beautiful kids and everything. So, but we put God first. And if we have a problem, we don't argue about it. We sit down and we discuss it out and ask God to help us deal with it. So how we deal with life.
Yeah, and that's the way you've raised your kids? I mean, how many children do you have,
yes.
Donald?
I got 3 boys and 2 girls.
And are they grown or are still home or what?
Yes, yes. I got an 18-year-old. I got a 28-year-old. I got a 27-year-old. I got a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Wow. Okay. So you and your wife spend time really in agreement spiritually, getting started at that level. And you do you see a difference in your parenting when you have an issue
that you
have to deal with?
Yes, I do. What makes me so happy is she gave her life to God because of me, because I used to tell Jesus loved her and all that. And since we've been together, she's gave her life to God, and now she won't stay out of the Bible, and I like that about her.
That's good. Well, hey, listen, Donald, appreciate your call, man. It's a reminder. In fact, on my list of the top things that we can do, number 3 on the list, not because it's number 3 on the list, but because it's number 3 on this list, pray daily for their future. Pray for your kids. Pray for their career, their spouses, their life choices. Pray that God will give you wisdom. There's something that happens spiritually. There's something that happens relationally. When we humble ourselves and we realize, hey, these kids are not mine. I have a stewardship responsibility in raising these children. But someday, and grandparents listening, you know what I'm talking about. You've raised the kids. They're out of the home. They're bringing those grandkids home. You realize that you've just sent into the future children and grandchildren that you may not be around to see in the years ahead, but you realize you played a part in that. And I think for young moms and dads today, if you realize with those little ones, you take that little baby that's just been born or they're maybe toddling around the house and realize that it's coming. You've heard it, you know, that during these years, as you invest into their lives, take good care of yourself, make your priorities key in your family, praying with your kids, for your kids, getting your kids to church, getting on the same page with your spouse. You're giving your kids security. So down the road when they're teenagers and adults, as the scripture says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. So it comes down to making a decision to be on the same page. So what is one thing? Even if you don't call to tell me, I hope you'll tell yourself, what is one thing that if you were to get on the same page with your spouse right now and stay on that same page for the days ahead, what difference would that make in your family?
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. You know, tattoos are in vogue today. If you don't think so, just go to the supermarket and take a look around, because that's where the adults hang out. And notice that adults have tattoos. Kids have tattoos. So what's a parent to do? Well, everybody's different. Tattoo's not the end of the world. But I'll tell you how I handle it. If it came up, I simply said to my kids, you know what, honey, when you're of age and you can afford it and you're of legal age, you can do anything in your body you'd like. But for right now, we're just gonna put that on hold. I try not to make a big thing about it. And again, you know, my advice for years has always been, you know, don't look for trouble. Don't go where there's going to be an argument for sure. Just be an authority. Make the call. Respect your kids. They're not like you. They're going to be different. Maybe they'd like a tattoo. Like I say, it's not the end of the world. But holding kids off and getting them to defer gives them a chance to grow up a little bit, doesn't it? That's always a good thing to do when you're a parent. Let your kids grow up.
Hey, listen, that would be a whole program right there. That would be an interesting program, talking about tattoos. I mean, they're so popular to everybody. It seems like everywhere you turn. you got to be careful, you know, when you think about tattoos. I've always wondered, I don't have a tattoo. I always wonder if whoever you hire to do it, you better make sure they're really good at it. You don't want to have a word misspelled or something. Okay, Jason's on the line. Jason, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate your call.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you. What's going on here? Well, you got to talk about being on the same page? Are you and your wife not on the same page?
No.
Over what?
Well, over finances as well as disciplining stepchildren.
Okay. Are these, quote, yours or hers?
I have one. She has two.
Okay, so you brought them. How do the kids get along with each other?
It just depends on what day it is.
Yeah, how long have you been married?
Actually, I've recently been divorced because of this situation.
So, that's unfortunate. That's sad. So, you guys are divorced, and now the kids are going through another loss?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
what have you learned, Jason? What have you learned through this?
I learned you need to, in premarital counseling is very important, and you need to make sure you talk about all this before you ever get married. I thought I covered that before we got married. It seemed to be an understanding, but once everybody moved in, it was just like all that went out the window.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in love. I mean, what love has a way, that feeling of love has a way of kind of negating the realities that you face, especially in a blended family. How long were you married?
4 years.
Is there hope for reconciliation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are currently dating.
All right. Well, take it slow. And I think, Jason, I think just being honest with each other and saying, wow, we came into this thing thinking, hey, we can handle this. You know, I mean, others can't, but we can. And just fess up to the fact this is tough business. And when we don't agree on something as powerful as the love that we have for our kids, because what happens in blended families, you've seen this, Jason, I'm preaching the choir for you, but what happens in blended families, it's his and hers, and you're not being fair with my kids, and you're treating your kids differently than my kids, and that just understandably creates a problem. I mean, you even see it in families where all the kids are together, and they've been raised together, and all of a sudden, that's not fair. That's not fair. Fairness becomes an issue in these relationships, and of course, there tends to be that moving toward, quote, our children. I want to protect my child in this relationship. So I'd encourage you to move slowly, Jason. Trust God, and we pray you can make this thing work, put it back together. We're pro-marriage. We're pro-making family work. Are you encouraged at where you are at this point?
Excuse me?
Are you encouraged the direction you're taking?
Somewhat. As far as our relationship is concerned, it's very positive. We're not living together. I don't have to deal with the way she disciplines her children. And we, you know, have separate finances. So when those things are taken out of it, I mean, it's a beautiful relationship. I love my relationship with her. I love my relationship with her kids. But it's like when I'm in the middle of it, obviously, you know, they verbally bombard their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and stay out of it, but she ends up getting her feelings hurt. I step in, and then I'm the jerk all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the pattern. Like I said, there's a tendency we protect our children. You ask law enforcement officers, every law enforcement officer listening will tell you they hate going to domestic violent type problems because they can get turned on. They show up to try to help a problem, and all of a sudden, hey, you're here. This is my family, and you're interfering. So they can often turn on law enforcement. And that'll happen in blended families. You're trying to step in to do something good, and you get turned on because, hey, well, you can't do that to my kid. You can't talk to my kid that way. And so you also recognize that dating is not real life when it comes to being married. There's the reality now of our finances and our priorities and discipline. So I'd encourage you to move slowly, and we'll be praying with you, Jason. It's possible, but I'll tell you, it takes a lot of humility, a lot of humbleness, and as followers of Christ, to the willingness to get on the same page. So, all right, thank you for your call. By the way, I mentioned earlier we have a top 10 list of things that really can be encouraging, how to encourage your children. And I would ask you, maybe you don't know where to begin. You think about something you could do as a, with your spouse for the next 30 days, and you want some ideas. This top 10 list will be helpful for you. Just come to theintentionallife.com, and when you're there, click on the broadcast highlights, and it'll take you to that page, okay? Love to have you join in. If you have a thought on this topic today, 888-888-1717. And I think the one thing that I really encourage us as parents and grandparents in working with our 20-year-olds, help them take some decent risk in life. If you're going to fail, fail in the 20s. If you're going to make a mistake, make it in the 20s. Fail early, fail fast, pick yourself back up and keep going. And I'll even add one more. If you're going to fail, fail forward. Don't fail backward. You know, and I don't mean you intentionally go out to fail, but in your 20s, we're talking about the decades of life as an opportunity to really step forward and maybe learn some things and try some things that help move your life forward. And if you fall down, get back up and keep going. Listen, if you're going to fail, I'd rather have you fail in your 20s than your 60s because you have a little more lead time to get back on your feet. That's for sure. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy here. This is Intentional Living. I just want to say this. We're just 2 weeks away from the end of this fiscal year, and we've fallen behind where we need to be. We're about 10% short for the year for our support. And we have some friends of the ministry that are saying, we want to help you wrap it up here, Randy. And they made a $10,000 dollar-for-dollar match. And last report, we have about $7,600 left. Every dollar is being matched right now. And we need your help. I need your help. This is a mission I can't carry alone. And so I'm just going to very honestly and earnestly ask you in this critical hour to step up and share the very best love gift you can for the ministry at this point. If you can share $1,000, I know that may be a stretch for many, but not maybe for you. That can become $2,000 for the ministry. $500 becomes $1,000 and so on. Being matched right now, dollar for dollar. Please give online. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon and share that gift today. And I want to say thank you in advance for your help here at this fiscal year end for Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Talking about getting on the same page with your spouse and raising your kids, let's go to Lori, who's on the line. Lori, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you. Hi.
I appreciate your call. What's where is it that you and your spouse need to work on to get on the same page?
The biggest thing I think of, my husband is pretty overwhelmed with work and things. And it can lead to being a little short on patience. And I love listening to the program all the time and getting the advice and hearing things, but I'm trying to figure out the best way. It just still seems like communication with the children and with each other can use a little work, and I just really don't know.
Is he short with you too, Lori?
Not as often. Probably more so with work and with kids get the quarreling, like the normal things they do.
Now, have you talked to him about this?
A little bit. We try to. It's not an easy subject because he can get I don't want to say defensive, but just, you know, he's very private and very quiet about things. So it's kind of hard sometimes for us to communicate about more important things. Sure, it's hard to find those times.
So when you bring it up, you want to talk to him, he'll be defensive with you.
It could get that way pretty easy if I say it the wrong way.
So you feel like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you feel like you're walking on eggshells?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and the kids come to you complaining about dad being so short with them?
No, not too much, but they see how he is too, and it just makes them feel like walking on eggshells too sometimes, even though they're...
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, but you say you all feel like you're walking on eggshells.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But just, I just want to make things, you know, we do go to church, we, you know, try and pray and things, all the things that we're trying to do, I love listening to the program, and I just thought maybe asking you might give a little advice.
Well, Lori, I think a couple of things. One is you sound like a precious person and very gentle-spirited, and it might be difficult for you to, you know, get up into your husband's grill too and really lay out, hey, there's some things in the family here that we need to talk about. Is that true? I mean, it'd be hard for you to really confront. Yeah. And so if he's really stressed and it's easy for him to kind of boil over, your natural reaction would be to pull away. What I would encourage, a couple of things, Lori. One is obviously continuing to pray for your family and pray for your husband. I think if you could get away with him alone, away from the stress, I don't know if it's on a date or a weekend or something where things are less stressful, and just be real honest with him. Get out of your comfort zone just a little bit and say, honey, this is not easy for me because I love you and I respect you and what you do for the family. I know you work hard. But is it okay if I just share with you something I'm observing that's bothering me and the kids, and so we can just at least talk about it and bring up the fact that, in other words, you're acknowledging you see the stress, you acknowledge that he's overworked, but you're also pointing out, hey, we've got an issue here, and see if we can talk about it. Now, if he opens up and you guys can talk and he gets it, that's a positive thing. If not, what would be good is at least getting into some counseling together where the two of you can have an objective, someone who can be an advocate for a better marriage for both of you. And it may not be that you feel comfortable taking that role one-on-one, but being with a counselor where you can say, hey, together we got an issue. It's not that he's bad, he's wrong, you're right, because both of you are in this marriage. So taking some steps to move in that direction would be positive. Okay, Lori, appreciate your call. Thank you for taking the time to share with us today. We're talking about being on the same page with your kids. And when you are, that's a powerful thing. And when you're not, you know the stress that can take. All right, I think Deborah's on the line. I'm not sure where, but Deborah, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Okay, well, we're not actually a together family. We're divorced, and my ex is agnostic at best. He has a new wife who's atheist. I'm Christian and trying to bring my children up in the church when I have them half time. My son is 14 and he has decided that he doesn't want to live with the guilt about his father, and if all this Bible stuff is true, then his father is damned for hell. And so he has chosen to spend the majority of his time with his father. And so that puts me in, you know, a very hurtful, very challenging position.
Mm-hmm. Has he felt like you've been preaching at him?
Yes.
And preaching about how bad dad is?
Well,
I mean, is that his perception? Do you think he perceives that you've been beating up on dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he's caught in the middle saying, you know, I love my dad and he lives this way, and I love my mom, she lives that way. And
yes, and, you know, he says he's given it a lot of thought. He gets very quiet, so I know that things are going on. He's processing, but, yeah, he feels very torn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd get him out of the middle, Deborah, and I think part of that would be to have a talk with your son in terms of, you know, son, I've been hurt, I know you've been hurt. Through this process, I just want to apologize. I'm sorry. I shouldn't put you in the middle. I know you love dad and you love me, and we're trying to work through this. This is all new territory. And I'd give him space and I'd back off and I wouldn't preach. I wouldn't put him in a difficult situation. I would pray for him. I'd love him. I'd be a Christian mom. I would act as a Christian mom. I would not encourage you to be critical of dad in any way, even if you feel it's justified.
Yeah, it's difficult because they mock our church going. And, you know, when they're under that influence where it's a mockery, you know, how can you be a scientist and believe this Bible stuff. it is very challenging not to say something.
Well, you can talk about scripture and you can talk about science, but you don't have to bring up dad or mockery or the issues about him. I'd stay focused on the issue and not on the people. I'd stay focused on what you believe and why you believe it, and not on why dad doesn't believe it and why he's wrong and you're right. And I would keep your son out of the center.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell him I don't have all the answers, and so I would like to take him to places where he can get his questions answered by people who have put their lives into studying this, which is church. And, that's the first place that he wants to avoid. So it's very tricky.
Now, is he with you half-time?
He's not anymore. He has decided he wants to spend the majority of his time with his father, and his father feels that he's mature enough to make that decision at 14.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
No. So, it's a court battle, and it could get very, very ugly and very hurtful, and that's what I don't want to do to my son.
Mm. Boy, we certainly understand that, Deborah. And I think at the end of this day of parenting, your number one concern is for the soul of your and the heart of your son. And you have to love him. And I think sometimes as Christians, we have to bend over backward. The scripture says that the preaching of the gospel, the understanding of the gospel, is foolishness to those who are perishing. And so the feeling of being persecuted and being ridiculed, hey, listen, the world is ridiculing us big time, more and more openly than ever before, with less and less respect and being marginalized for what we believe, especially in this, quote, scientific age in which we live, thinking that science has all the answers in some way or other, that being a Christian, we have to shut our head off, and we don't. I think that's important for your son to read and learn, have availability to be with people who are thinking. We've got people listening today who are scientists. We have people who are scholarly listening today. We have people in college professorships. We have people who are writing, who are very scientific, who love the Lord and recognize that the scripture is true. And by faith, that's what the scripture says. For by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a faith walk. So we will pray for you, Deborah. We'll pray for your son, maintaining a good relationship, not only with your son, but with that ex-husband would be a positive as well, powerful. Mm. That story is repeated many, many times. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.